The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be program. In our last two programs, we have been speaking about the Holy Spirit, which is the most important ingredient you can have. But as important as the Holy Spirit is, God's Spirit doesn't do it all for you. It only does what you can't do. There is no such thing as a do-nothing Christian. There is no such thing as God doing it all for you, or that God or Christ has already done it all for you. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, meaning there's something that you must do if you want to be saved. Notice what Paul had to say here in Philippians 2, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Yes, God works in you by the power of his Holy Spirit. By his Holy Spirit, you have the will to obey God. Verse 14 continues, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Verse 16, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Verse 16 is telling us that you must cleave to the truth, God's word. That's what you do if you are a Christian. In verse 16, God called his word the word of life, the way to live, a guide to everything you do, and a path to eternal life. You can't give yourself eternal life. You can't earn eternal life. You can't give yourself the Holy Spirit. We know it is a free gift, but you should also understand that God only gives that free gift to those who meet the requirements for it. There is something that you have to do. You have to work on self. You have to overcome self and the ways of Satan, and it takes God's Spirit to do that. But God isn't forcing his Spirit on anyone. Neither is he forcing you to yield to him just so he can finish his spiritual creation in you. But if you are yielding to God, he will finish creating you in a spiritual sense to become a spirit being with holy righteous character. There's no way that holy righteous character can be built by force. It is voluntarily on your part with the help of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. Neither can God do it all for you. God gave you a mind, that spiritual component, that can be linked with the mind of God. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit is. It is the mind, the attitude, and character of God. It is the power of God. It is the love of God. It is the ingredient that leads you to repentance, called the goodness of God in Romans 2 and verse 4. Notice what Paul had to say in Romans 2 and verse 4. It says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? So if you're tired of your way of life and want to change, you can be sure God is calling you. Will you listen and follow the lead of the Holy Spirit? You would be wise to do so. Once you repent and are baptized and have hands laid on you to receive the Holy Spirit, then if you continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God will continue to feed you with His Spirit, and you will continue to become more like God and Christ. In Matthew chapter 13, Christ mentioned that some bear fruits, those that stayed with the program, those that continued to obey God. He said some bore 100-fold, others 60, others 30. Those that stayed with the program, his way of life, and don't give up and quit, as the parable shows, will bear fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It seems some are more excited and enthused and grow faster than others, but God will have a place in his kingdom for all that bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In the fifth chapter of Galatians, it tells us what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is, as well as a few other places in the Bible. Notice Galatians 5, beginning in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, this is talking about God's love. It isn't speaking about human love that humanity naturally have for their own and for themselves. It's speaking about God's love that far exceeds human love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. God's love is far above human love. God loves everyone. Human nature is a mixture of good and evil, love and hatred. We don't love others as we love our own, and at times we even hate other people. God is only love, no hatred toward anyone. Continuing here in Galatians 5, verses 23 through 26, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Notice verse 23 again. It says, gentleness, self-control, speaking of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, down to this verse, and it says, against such there is no law. In other words, my friend, if you're living by God's Holy Spirit, you're being led by God's Spirit, and God's Spirit is in you, which means Christ and God the Father dwelling in you, then you aren't breaking any law. You are truly a citizen of heaven, law-abiding citizen of God. Ephesians 5, verse 9 and verse 10 says this, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Yes, it is a way of life, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Yes, it is a way of life. It is God's way. You will be concerned about pleasing God. You will be concerned about your conduct. You will be concerned as how you treat other people if you have God's Spirit. Verse 9 said the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, meaning good intentions, good motives, a good mindset. Right the opposite of trying to get the best of others. Verse 9 also said the fruit of the Spirit is in all righteousness and truth, meaning you will be striving to live by the Word of God and to please God. If you have God's Spirit, which is God in Christ living in you, then you won't be adding to or taking away from God's Word. Neither will you care less about what God has to say or what He thinks. Your mind will be geared in God's direction, the way of righteousness, love, and concern for others. In the creation week that you read of in Genesis 1, God creates man as a physical human being during the sixth day of that week. We know that sometimes within that 24-hour period, God created man out of the dust of the earth. Man had nothing to say about how or when he was created as a physical being. God was totally in charge, and it didn't take God very long to create man in the first stage of his creation. Let's notice Genesis 1, verses 26, 27, once more here. Verse 26 of Genesis 1. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Catch that, my friends. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Yes, man is to become just like God. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 27 doesn't say that God created him in his likeness at that time, but created him in appearance to look as God looks. You remember when God transformed himself into a human being, when he talked to Abraham in Genesis 18, God appeared as another man, he and two angels. It says, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, three men stood before him. But it was God and two angels, as the text continues to bring out very clearly. God only did the physical creation of man. God did not at that time create holy, righteous character like God has in man at that time. He did not give man an immortal soul. The Bible is very clear about the fact that man is a soul, a living soul, or a living being that can and will die. In Genesis 2, verse 7, it says this, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Some translation says a living soul, but it really means a living creature. The word nephesh is used here, which is the same word that's used for creatures. In other words, God breathed the breath of life into man, just no doubt as he did creatures, and man and creatures became a living nephesh, or a living being. Now, if man became a living soul or being, then he was a dead soul or being before God gave him the breath of life. In Job 33, verses 4 through 6, says this, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." Now, this is Elihu speaking to Job, waited for his turn, but then he began to speak to Job, another man speaking to another man. Verse 5, "If you can answer me, set your words in order before me. Take your stand. Truly, I am as your spokesman before God. I also have been formed out of clay." Yes, that's what man is. Man has been formed out of clay. There's nothing spiritual about man. There's no immortal soul in man. Man is not immortal. But God says he would make man in his image and in his likeness. And it takes God's spirit to do that. Yes, we are physical, and we die just like other creatures that God created. But of all of God's creatures, man is the only one that will be resurrected, because man was created for the purpose of becoming like God, a spirit being with holy, righteous, spiritual character, just like God the Father and His Son, Jesus the Christ. Therefore, God gave man a mind, a spiritual component, which can be linked to God by the Holy Spirit. So if you're willing to build the holy, righteous mind, attitude, and character of God and Jesus Christ, God can and will finish creating you to be like God. God will finish creating you the second stage of His creation of man. You were born to become a part of the God family, to be born of God as a son of God into the family of God, the very spirit-born brothers of Jesus Christ, which was the firstborn among many brethren. Now that should tell us something there, that Christ was the firstborn among many brethren. Notice in Romans 8 and verse 29, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Yes, you were born to become like Jesus Christ, a spirit-born son, just like Jesus Christ, that was born back into the family of God. And that is your destiny, my friends, and I hope that you understand this. As we have brought out in this series of programs, the Bible says there is a spirit in man. Notice this again in Job chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "But there is a spirit in man, and the breath," or some translation renders it, "the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding." Yes, indeed, it is the inspiration of God, by God's Holy Spirit, that gives you the understanding of the plan of salvation, of why you were born and where you're going and what your destiny is and how to get there. Well, I see my time is up. We'll pick this up in our next program. In the meantime, keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program on this station and several others that you can pick up in your area, and request our free articles, Born with a Purpose, and the article, Can Man Become God? All you need to do to receive those articles is just call us, the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, at 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. This is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. Or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.